on one pretense or another they engage the attention of men, married or unmarried, and lead them on till they transgress the law of God, till their usefulness is ruined, and their souls are in jeopardy. If women would only elevate their lives and become workers with Christ, there would be less danger through their influence, but with their present feelings of unconcern in regard to home responsibilities and in regard to the claims that God has upon them, their influence is often strong in the wrong direction, their powers are dwarfed, and their work does not bear the divine impress. 333.1 There are so many forward misses and bold, forward women who have a faculty of insinuating themselves into notice, putting themselves in the company of young men, courting the attentions, inviting flirtations from married or unmarried men, that, unless your face is set Christward, firm, as steel, you will be drawn into Satan's net. 333.2 As Christ's ambassador, I entreat you who profess present truth to promptly resent any approach to impurity and forsake the society of those who breathe an impure suggestion. Loathe these defiling sins with the most intense hatred. Flee from those who would, even in conversation, let the mind run in such a channel, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. 333.3 You should not for one moment give place to an impure, covert suggestion, for even this will stain the soul, as impure water defiles the channel through which it passes. 333.4 A woman who will allow an unchaste word or hint to be uttered in her presence is not, as God would have her, one that will permit any undue familiarity or impure suggestion does not preserve her godlike womanhood. 333.5 Protected by a sacred circle of purity. Our sisters should encourage true meekness. They should not be forward, talkative, and bold, but modest and unassuming, slow to speak. They may cherish courteousness. To be kind, tender, pitiful, forgiving, and humble would be becoming and well-pleasing to God. If they occupy this position, they will not be burdened with a new attention from gentlemen in the church or out. All will feel that there is a sacred circle of purity around these God-fearing women which shields them from any unwarrantable liberties. 334.1 With some women professing godliness, there is a careless, coarse freedom of manner which leads to wrong and evil. But those godly women whose minds and hearts are occupied in meditating upon themes which strengthen purity of life, and which elevates the soul to commune with God, will not be easily led astray from the path of rectitude and virtue. Such will be fortified against the sophistry of Satan, they will be prepared to withstand his seductive arts. 334.2 I appeal to you, as followers of Christ making an exalted profession, to cherish the precious, priceless gem of modesty. This will guard virtue. 334.3 Control the thoughts. You should control your thoughts. This will not be an easy task, you cannot accomplish it without close and even severe effort. Yet God requires this of you, it is a duty resting upon every accountable being. You are responsible to God for your thoughts. If you indulge in vain imaginations, permitting your mind to dwell upon impure subjects, you are, in a degree, as guilty before God, as if your thoughts were carried into action. All that prevents the action is the lack of opportunity. Day and night dreaming and 335 castle building are bad and exceedingly dangerous habits. When once established, it is next to impossible to break up such habits and direct the thoughts to pure, holy, elevated themes. 334.4 Beware of flattery. I am pained when I see men praised, flattered, and petted. God has revealed to me the fact that some who receive these attentions are unworthy to take his name upon their lips, yet they are exalted to heaven in the estimation of finite beings, who read only from outward appearance. My sisters, never pet and flatter poor, fallible, erring men, either young or old, married or unmarried. You know not their weaknesses, and you know not but that these very attentions and this profuse praise may prove their ruin. I am alarmed at the short-sightedness, the want of wisdom, that many manifest in this respect. 335.1 Men who are doing God's work, and who have Christ abiding in their hearts will not lower the standard of morality, but will ever seek to elevate it. They will not find pleasure in the flattery of women or in being petted by them. Let men, both single and married, stay hands off. I will never give the least occasion that my good should be evil spoken of. My good name is capital of far more value to me than gold or silver. let me preserve it untarnished. If men assail that name, it shall not be, because I have given them occasion to do so, but for the same reason that they spoke evil of Christ, because they hated the purity and holiness of his character, for it was a constant rebuke to them. On 335.2, if the minister tempts the slightest insinuations, from whatever source they may come, inviting you to indulge in sin or to allow the least unwarrantable liberty, 336, with your persons should be resented, as the worst of insults to your dignified womanhood. The kiss upon your cheek, at an improper time and place, should lead you to repel the emissary of Satan with disgust. If it is from one in high places, who is dealing in sacred things, the sin is of tenfold greater magnitude and should lead a God-fearing woman or youth to recoil with horror, not only from the sin he would have you commit, but from the hypocrisy and villainy of one whom the people respect and honor as God's servant. 335.3, if a minister of the gospel does not control his baser passions, if he fails to follow the example of the apostle and so dishonors his profession and faith as to even name the indulgence of sin, our sisters who profess godliness should not, for an instant, flatter themselves that sin or crime loses its sinfulness in the least, because their minister dares to engage in it.